I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. My name's Cliff.
Yeah. And I'm Brett.
Yes, Brett, hello. Clean-shaven Brett.
Right, clean-shaven me.
For Santa.
Yes, don't look like Lemmy, as you said last week, even though I didn't look like Lemmy at all. Lemmy.
From this side, didn't? You did.
I had no Nazi stuff on my clothing.
I can't Nazi see what's on the other necklaces. Side of this camera, though, can I? You could have a room full of...
I can assure you I don't.
I thought as
definitely
much.
Not. Yeah. We don't like the Nazis, you know.
No, we don't like them. How are you anyway, Nazis aside?
I'm fine, yes. Absolutely fine. Looking forward to Santa coming. Right, so just getting ready for that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm all right, getting ready for what should be a decent amount of time off work with a couple of bits and pieces here and there. Enjoying a can of Grosch.
Ooh, Grosch.
What do you think of that?
I used to like, you know, can't remember those Grosch bottles that used to have to pop.
Amazing.
They had the big white things in the top. Mm-hmm.
World class.
They were brilliant, though.
They made it worthwhile, I should have said. This is good. I love Grolsch. Have you ever had a memory of, like, a brilliant pint? Like, that sticks in your head?
A brilliant pint?
Yeah.
Actually,
like a specific pint.
Yeah. Actually, now that you mention it, I do. We went to a stag do to Leeds. We were absolutely, you know, tanks and stuff dude? Like that. Whose was it? Was it Nobby's? I think it was Nobby's. Yeah, it was Nobby's.
Okay.
Leeds, I think. And Nobby obviously nearly killed himself on this stag out. And, he was standing on, weren't in this pub, and it was like two floors, and he was standing on the table, perilously close to the edge.
Oh, he's a danger to himself. There's a man who calamity follows him around.
He also, Nobby, woke up in the morning next to a tramp on a bench.
Had he cuddled up to the tramp for warmth, or had he fallen asleep when the tramp found
him? Who knows? Anything could have happened in the night, couldn't it?
I know how we could find out. Maybe Nobby could come on this podcast and tell us all about it. Don't think it's going to happen. You need to grind him down over Christmas. You're good at that.
Oh, thanks very much. That's my personality, is it? I grind people down.
That's your MO.
In submission. It's me MO. I don't think it is at all.
I don't think it definitely. Is either, really. You woo people quite easily, don't you?
I do woo. Woo! Like Ric Flair.
Quite a gregarious wooer.
I am. Yeah, quite gregarious. What about you? What's your specialty? How do you get people to do shit?
Hypnotism.
Right, yes. Nice. So I wouldn't know, but have you ever hypnotized me?
But you're not wonder why I keep putting like a virgin on every time we talk to each other.
I have wondered that actually.
So yeah, that's it really. I've been we're talking about the likely or whatever happened to the Likely Lads 1974 Christmas special today, and in a reverse kind of storyline from that famous episode where they try and not find out the Newcastle result.
England.
Oh, is it England, is it? Sorry.
Aye. It's not Newcastle, man. Definitely not.
Well, anyway, in a reverse of that, I've spent all day trying to watch this episode in time for this tonight. And <I've, laughs> the amount of times I've started it and then something's happened. Anyway, I've watched it now. I will be honest, I haven't paid a lot of attention to it. So I won't be able to go into the intricacies of it. I very much enjoyed it. And I'm laughing my head off at bits of it. It's good, isn't it?
Really good.
I've watched it now just before we come on air, I think. Is this air?
We're around here, aren't we? There's air around, we. Along with the Metachlorians.
With the what?
Metachlorians, not know what they are.
I don't know what you mean. I don't even know what you're
saying. The Force. The Force is all around Wycliffe, isn't it?
From the Skywalkers.
From the Star Wars, yeah.
Did you watch The Last Mandalorian?
I did indeed, yes. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Me as well. Amazing. Excellent, wasn't it?
I watched it with my son, who likes Star Wars and stuff. And he was, before we watched The Mandalorian, he was schooling us about what a darksaber was, because I had no idea whatsoever what it was.
There's loads of bits in this that if you, there's the Clone Wars series and stuff like that, that all kind of, there's people from this and that, isn't there? So there's a lot of stuff you could know about Star Wars, I think, if you are that bothered about it. I mean, I'm not that bothered. Yeah. I like it. Uh-huh. And I think this is the best Star Wars stuff that I can remember watching like live as it comes out.
It was brilliant. It was like it got me sort of like in the mood to watch more Star Wars and stuff.
So it was, made me just want
exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it made me wish this was longer or want to watch the next episode straight away. I think the Mandalorian series can be a little bit slow at times, well, as they're building the story up, but as it got to the last two episodes of this, they just ramped it up and ramped it up. And this really did feel like a film.
It was epic.
We won't spoil it for anyone, but what an ending.
It was, and we won't spoil it, but the CGI of a young face was much better in this one, I thought. Because in the other ones, it hasn't worked. Because they've done it before, haven't they? I think they did it on Rogue One with Leia, and they did it. Also had a computer generated Peter Cushing, which is weird.
That would look like all of a sudden somebody from a computer game was in the film, didn't it?
But this one, it was good. They did it really well, I thought. It was very convincing.
It was better, I think. Was it better than Joe Pesci's young face in The Irishman?
I think it was, yes.
It definitely
from
was.
What I remember, it was much better, yeah.
That was a very strange look.
I know, yeah. I like that film, Art. I still enjoyed that film.
I didn't like it so much, actually.
Did you not?
No, and I really wanted to love it, but I just couldn't get into it. Too long. Yeah. Everyone's loving it. It's his longest film yet. So what, man?
I thought Stephen Graham was really good in it.
Yeah, he's not in it a lot, is he? But he is very good.
The bits that he was in it, yeah, he was amazing. But yeah, watch The Mandalorian if you like Star Wars, because it was good.
Or even if you think you're not that bothered about Star Wars, this is good.
Yeah, it's like the old stuff, and that's what everybody wants, isn't it? They want it to be like the old stuff.
Absolutely. So, had some nice messages this week, haven't we? That was been nice.
We've had some very nice messages off a few people, haven't we? We had a few messages off Davey, our friend Davey.
Yeah.
Who
shields lad.
Yeah, he's a good lad. Who also did a podcast as well, which I listened to this week, where you had Chris Waddle on.
It was a game of two scars, wasn't it? Him and his mate.
That's right.
I'm sure we know the other lad, Lee. Can't think where. Yeah, I'm sure we do. I know his name. I know his face. Uh-huh. I can't think where I know him from. But we do know him somehow. Anyway, yes, I listened to that when it was out. And I thought it was really good. Yeah, because I followed Davey on Twitter for a while. And Instagram and stuff. He's a former MasterChef contestant. So he wants to come on and talk about something. But obviously, I wanted to talk to him about what it was like being on MasterChef. Did well on it. Did well on it.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, very, very well.
Did he cook a souffle?
And did it rise?
Did he
cook a duck breast? And that duck breast needs to be pink in the middle.
Does it?
Yeah.
All breasts need to. Well, yeah, I'm not.
I don't know what they look like inside.
Well, neither do I.
Like a golf ball.
Not being a serial killer, I've got no idea. I haven't got a clue.
Anyway, yeah, really nice message off Davey. Have you got it there to read? Because I haven't, and I don't think I don't think we need to.
It was he said, lads, it's been a shit year, but one of my highlights is finding your podcast. I love it. You're like two mates I've never met. I love your patter. My personal goal is to be a guest on your podcast. So no loud hints here. Keep up the great work and have a Merry Christmas. So yes, that was very nice.
Very nice. And Ian, our mate, joined in as well with some prayers. Yeah. It's nice. And we've had some other nice stuff. That is, I know neither of us are doing this for people to blow smoke of our asses or for any kind of prayers or anything like that. Like I replied to the lads, like saying, we basically started this to amuse ourselves, and thought some people might listen, but we didn't know. It turns out quite a lot of people listen, which is great. But honestly, what we do is daft. It doesn't make any difference, really, does it? Or like in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to make any difference too much. But like Davey said, it has been a shit year for lots of people, us included, for various reasons. And you know, it is like you get to Christmas and there's a lot of pressure on looking back at the year that's gone by, thinking about what you could have done differently and all of that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of pressure to kind of justify stuff and reflect on stuff and have you done things right and all of that kind of stuff. Look, hearing that, we've made some people happy by listening. It's lush to hear.
Really nice.
It makes us feel great. I'm glad we've been able to do that, even if it's just Davey and Ian and no one else.
Well, that's it. Yeah. For me. I mean, I didn't think that would happen at all. That anybody would feel that way about, you know, me and you just talking bollocks.
But I know. But that's the thing, right?
That's the thing.
Two old mates that basically do this as a way to talk to each other from halfway across the world. Because, you know, we spend a long time just thick as thieves and experience all of this stuff together when we were younger. You know, and as you get older, you drift apart like most people do. Obviously, I'm in a totally different place. So there's that. We probably talk now more than I did even when I was living in Newcastle, which is great. You know, like we haven't always made everybody laugh with the stuff that we've gone on about and talked about. You know, we've been thrown out of our fair shares of bars, slapped in the face by our fair share of women, punched by lads and shields and all that kind of stuff. And, you know.
Yeah. But it was all worth it, wasn't it, Cliff?
Some of us have had graffiti written about us on the courts of South Shield.
The courts.
Etched into the court bench.
Them bastard tennis players, eh?
But you know, it's good, and I think it has been a shit year. There's I think I won't speak on your behalf, but over the years, certainly there's been periods where I haven't felt great. I haven't put myself in the best position with things and people and made bad choices and, you know, not always done the right thing or the best thing to make me happy, anybody around us happy and stuff like that. I think, you know, the last 5-6 years since I've been married and all that, I've been on a totally different kind of path and trajectory and stuff, which is great. Mm-hmm. I'll always be grateful for that. But I don't know, it's all, I'm starting to get a bit worthy, I suppose, but I don't mean to. What I mean is, like, if you can do something that makes you feel happy and makes you feel a bit better about whatever your situation is, great. Mm-hmm. You know, like, as I get to the end of this year, doing this, which is almost a year now since we started it, has been the undoubted highlight and has got me through some shit times. I've spoke to you minutes after we found out that, you know, Jane's grandma died. I've spoke to you after, you know, we've had to let people go at work. I've been off work and, you know, also when the babies stood up for the first time and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just good that you've got something like that. Also playing football with a good bunch of lads from work for the first time. Some of them I didn't know before, never spoken to before, but we've been in the same building for a long time. That's another highlight, getting out and doing something different with some different people and broadening your horizons and stuff like that. It's been nice. I think you've got to take those things.
I agree. I mean, like you've just said there, Davey, it has been a difficult year, but I've had this to do with you every week, and it's the highlight of me week, sitting and chatting to you. Do you know what I mean? It's been tough, but if I didn't have this, it would have been a lot worse.
Same here. You know, like, it doesn't matter kind of what else was going on. I knew that, one, I was probably going to watch something funny or listen to something funny, but even if it wasn't that good that what we were watching or going to talk about, knowing that I was going to end up talking about it to you and that other people would be listening and we'll have a bit crack on Twitter or Facebook or whatever was good. Like, you know, it's nice and there's not a lot of nice stuff going on, so I'm so glad that it is.
I think we're very lucky to have it, and we're very lucky to have each other, aren't we, Paul?
I think so, mate. I think so. Also, it means I get a detailed critical reception from my dad every week on Facebook, which is nice.
Yeah. That's good. The only difference about what you said is there, I have made no mistakes previously throughout my life. That's the only difference. But I sort of second everything else that you've said there.
I forgot you've had the perfect life. I forgot about that.
I have, yes, I have. That's true.
I know.
Everybody says it, don't they, Cliff? Everybody says it.
I mean, there's posters around Shields of it, isn't there?
There is. Vote Brett posters and stuff like that. Not at all.
Obviously, look, we get a Christmas. One thing on Christmas Eve, like, we would normally be out in Sad Bastard's Corner, wouldn't we?
Of course we would, yes, we would. That's a shame. We'd normally be in a pub called the Stag's Head in South Shields, which is the smallest pub in known existence, isn't it? And that's why we like it, isn't it? Because we like it small and intimate. And
when we used to go in when we were teenagers and stuff, we were the youngest people in there by a good 20 years. And the best thing about it is, we're still the youngest people in there by about 20 years when we go now.
I know. They couldn't realise why we were wanting to be in there.
Nah, the confusion when we first started going in was like mad, wasn't it?
It was mental, But the main reason that we used to go in on a Thursday, they used to, in the pubs and stuff in South Shields, they used to play like techno and rave and all this horrible stuff that we didn't like. So we found this little pub which we thought was amazing anyway, but then they had a DJ on, didn't they?
Cool Cats.
We just put like Cool Cats, who would put like John Lennon and the Beatles and stuff on.
You would play anything we wanted on, but I think it helped. I think it helped that we liked music from the 60s and 70s.
It did. I mean, there were certain ones that he refused to put on, wasn't there? There was a couple of John Lennon ones that he refused to put on.
I mean, I don't know how.
Screaming
cause
once.
Because he played Boris the Spider. By the
Yeah. He also played a lot of Jimmy Neil for as well.
He did, and I've got a Jimmy Neil quiz for you later on.
Oh my goodness! I'm going to do terribly at the Jimmy Neil quiz. Straight
probably,
on Wikipedia.
Probably yes.
yeah.
But John will be very happy to hear it does give me a chance to sing.
Good. Put that in your pipe, John.
Now
wrong with
you
singing, man.
Yeah, I'm only joking, man. So yeah, that was good.
No, like, it's been no, that's not. You were a singer in a band and everything, Cliff, weren't you?
I for a bit was all right.
Aye,
uh-huh. Was all right.
Like, I never actually saw you perform.
Not even when we played in Shields.
Nah, I never saw you.
Played
what
under
kind
a staircase.
Of stuff did you do? Under a staircase. What kind of stuff did you do?
Well, we used to do a few covers and then our own stuff. So, we did covers for Rolling Stones, did Get Off My Cloud, Bad Moon Rising by Creedence. Uh-huh. Did Run Around Sue by Dion and the Belmonts.
Ooh.
Ever Fallen in Love by the Buzzcocks.
Any Shaden Stevens?
Obviously, the Green Door.
Green Door. The best Shakin' Stevens song ever, isn't it, that one? Green Door. Green Door.
Anyway, what are we talking about that for? Let's talk about the Likely Lads, man.
Yes, let's talk about the Likely Lads. I love the Likely Lads.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, do you like the Likely Lads, like...
I love the Likely Lads. I think my love of the Likely Lads has come from my dad, I think.
Okay.
And me discovery of that episode that you've already talked about there, where they're hiding in the church because they don't want to know what the football result is, the England match, which they do eventually find out has been called off and they've been hiding for no reason.
Yeah.
So I think it's that. Also the fact that they're from the Northeast and they were sort of very reminiscent of what Davey said. You know, Davey said, like, you know, or Ian, I think it might have been Ian as well, who says, about me and you, I'd like this sort of, you know, I like listening to them speak and I like their conversations. I feel the same way about the Likely Lads. I want to be in that conversation that they're having in the pub, do you know what I mean? So, I just love it. I just think it's great. I think I'm not a massive sitcom fan, certainly not of modern sitcoms. I do like, you know, the older sitcoms, especially this one. Probably because I relate to it a lot more, because the things that they're talking about are things that me and you've sat in the pub and talked about.
I know, it's strange, isn't it? So, I had it on.
That's why I like it.
I had it on and Jane was like, oh, I don't think I've ever watched The Likely Lads. What's it about? And I said, well, it's about two Geordie mates, but they're grown-ups. And one of them is married. And he's a bit henpecked. And the other one he's made is a bit more of a rogue. But that's it, basically.
Pretty much. I mean... There was a series before that as well where they were both just trainee electricians.
Yes, so the actual, the Likely Lads from the 60s.
Yes.
And I think people think that this
where
is
just two
the
mates.
Likely Lads.
Yeah, I think people do. But I mean, the old black and white one, the 60s one's great as well. It's absolutely fantastic because obviously they're younger and they're just going out, you know, trying to, you know, bag women and stuff like that and have a drink and have a good time and things. But Bob's always wanting to try and further himself, isn't he? And Terry's always like a working class lad. It's just like, I'm happy where I am, man.
Yeah, so he's got the ideas above his station a bit, hasn't he? Like he talks a bit more posh. He's the one who's got like the house and the wife and all of that kind of stuff. So I think he's like the aspirational one. I think it's great. I don't, you know, every time I've seen The Likely Lads, I've loved it. I really love it. But I haven't watched all of them all the way through. I haven't seen every episode. I've never sat down at the beginning of series one and watched.
Have you not? I'll tell you what happens in series one then, because they're all mates. But at the end of the first sort of series, Bob decides to join the army, right? And Terry, obviously being his mate, doesn't want him to go by himself. He's going to miss him. Mm-hmm. So he signs up to go to the army as well. But Bob is found to have flat feet, so that he can't go to the army or what have you. So Terry's sent off by himself. And in the whatever happened to the Likely Lads bit, they kind of meet up on a train and sort of reconnect that way and stuff. But by this time, Bob is middle class. He's got the new house and he's got the car and he's got stuff like that. So yeah, that's what it's about. I just think it's great.
Yeah, it's a funny dynamic, isn't it? Because he's always like kind of, he wants to pretend that he's a bit better than him. But
yeah,
it takes him about one pint to not only stoop down to his level, but he's worse than him.
He is worse.
I don't.
He's confident. So, they're both the same people, aren't they? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if Bob gets a new house or a car and a wife. They're both the same people.
Mm-hmm. So Jane was like, "Oh, it sounds like you two," and I was like, "Well," and then obviously Bob's always trying to get off with other women, isn't he?
The Ola. I mean, there's a very strange, because this is the Christmas special from 1974. There's a very strange party that they go to, isn't there? Which
weird.
Did this go on? I always remember my mum saying it used to go on in Holder House.
there's an area here that everyone's like, oh, you live there, you've got put this thing outside your door, and it's, you know, they know that you're one of them.
put your car keys in a bowl and mix them up, and the one that you pick up. Yeah, so it's a swinger spot.
So Jane was listening in, and she was like laughing at bits. Like I was, some of it I'm laughing out loud at. There's some great gags in it.
There is.
And she went, "It's funny this, isn't it? Because some of the jokes could be jokes now. They could be made now. But then there's other jokes which is a bit like, what, women drive?" just like that really dated. But I think anything that's based on this is an obvious thing to say, but there's some jokes in it that are timeless. They're just funny one-liners. But there's some bits that are based on the time and place that it's set in, which are a bit, which are funny, but you're a little bit like, mate, that's not on, is it? Like, especially how he's trying to, like, he's cheating on his wife left, right, and center. How much is it? Jane walked over, she's like, what kind of party is this?
Yeah, I watched it with my wife, and she was shocked at the party at the end. She was really shocked by it, that the fact that was in there. But again, you know, was that a snapshot of the time in the 70s, you know, that this would happen? Would be swingers parties or whatever? I don't know.
The thing is, like, what you think is, you expect it to be all this kind of glamorous stuff. And it's the same with the 60s series, right? It's like, the swinging 60s is going on in London, but this is about two working class blokes being a trainee electrician. So it's more like Coronation Street than like, you know, something, you know, blowout or sort of blowout.
And it's just before the sort of swinging 60s kicked in as well, because it's, I think it's from 62 to 64, the first series. So that it's just before that. And then obviously Terry goes off to the army and he's kind of missed this whole, you know, sexual revolution type thing.
So he's the guy that comes back. I mean, it's still, you could still make this now. He's like the unreconstructed like bloke when he comes back, isn't he? He's not still stuck in his ways, but it's like 50s and early 60s views for him. You could do it now and say, you know, he's still like, still a bit of a lad, a bit 90s. Whereas Bob's, you know, moisturising and all of that kind of stuff, and, you know, feeding the baby and shit like that, like wearing the baby in a papoose. You could do the exact same thing now. You'd only need to slightly change some of the jokes.
Yeah, you could.
Well, they did try and do it with
Ant and Dec. Just don't do it with Ant and Dec.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. I mean, I think I did see it when it was on. Actually, I think that was it for a World Cup or was it just before World Cup?
Well, it was that story, wasn't it? About trying to
keep
away from
it. It was the England match. So, I mean, obviously, Deck are like big fans of it and stuff like that. And I think if you're from the Northeast, you know, it's ingrained in you a little bit, this, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Especially from what parents and stuff. And I always remember, like I've said, me dad saying, oh, you should watch that. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And I did. But the thing that I like about it is just like, it's just the relationship between Terry and Bob. Do you know what I mean? That's the thing that I like. I like the bit that where they're just sitting chatting in the pub.
Yeah, great. And again,
my favourite bit.
And I think, like, I love Coronation Street and I watch it now. But I think mm-hmm. Coronation Street, when it started, was that. That's why they're in the pub. It's this black and white northern people talking about their normal lives in a pub. Like, obviously, this is more played for laughs than that is. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Coronation Street's still funny. Like, it's and that's one of the reasons I love it. Like, now it's because I know it's come from that. It's just gone through the ages, and that's why mm-hmm. I like those bits of them in the Black Horse. They're just great. It's just...
Yeah, it's just good. They're the best bits. I mean, the acting as well is really good because obviously they're doing it live as well.
Yeah.
You know, with an audience.
And you can tell with some bits that it's like not... It's a little bit stagey, I think, some bits.
Yeah.
But what isn't, the mm-hmm. jokes never feel like that. It's more the mm-hmm. kind of drama bits that are a bit stagey mm-hmm. and a bit like kind of theatre. But the jokes always land. Like the when they have that banter between them and that rapport, it always works, and you kind of forget.
It does.
Like that.
And you want to be sitting next to them, don't you? You want to be sitting next to them, you know, having a chat in the pub with them. They seem like, you know, obviously they're two good mates, and even though that, you know, this thing's happened where, you know, one's joined the army and one should have joined the army, they still kind of reconnect almost instantly when they're in the new series. They meet on a train. But yeah, I mean, the other thing as well is the situations that make it funny. It's a situation comedy, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's one in this Christmas episode where they go to the pub and they obviously can't drive home because they're too drunk and they lose the car keys anyway.
Yeah.
And Terry gives him a lift on a forklift.
Yeah, singing his head off while Bob's on the front of the fork. Like, on the fork.
That's right, yeah.
And also, it's massive, not a small one. It's bigger than a house.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And he can't get in the door anyway, so he lifts the forklift up to an open window, doesn't he? It's brilliant.
And the wife puts all this in the bedroom and the blaring lights come through into the bedroom and wake her up.
Yeah. It's just absolutely class. It's really, really funny. And if anybody hasn't watched that, there's a lot of them on YouTube. So I dig them out and watch them. Unfortunately, because it was on the BBC, some of the old 60s ones, a lot of the older episodes and that have been lost. So I think there's only 10 of the old... it's like Doctor Who, isn't it? That, you know, anything on the BBC in the 60s, they would just they would record over. So there's lots of lost things.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. They just have the tape that they run through again, and it's a shame, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I didn't know you couldn't find them. I didn't mm-hmm. know you couldn't still see them anywhere.
I think there's about 10 of the old ones, or the old black and white ones, but the rest of them have gone, unfortunately. I think obviously all the later ones, they still survive and things. I've got the box set, actually. I got it for Christmas, so this has always been a Christmas thing to watch for me. It's funny that, isn't it? If you get something at Christmas or whatever... Mm-hmm. Like, I associate all these things with Christmas, so I always seem to dig them out at Christmas. The other thing I related to as well was Bob's wife being a planner. Because my wife is a little bit of a planner. She likes to plan ahead, does my wife.
I think we're probably the other way around.
Really? Are you the planner?
I'm a planner.
So do you buy your Christmas presents in September?
No, I'm not that bad, but I think like if we're going anywhere, I'll be like, right, so we're going to do this and then we'll go here after that.
Yeah.
It'll be chaos otherwise. I can't deal with that.
See, I like to live off the cuff, mate. I'm just, let's just see what happens, man.
To be honest, my plans ideally would revolve around sitting on the city and watching loads of telly.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Can't do that much. But
you can't do that.
That's my ideal plan.
Well, I haven't said who the actors are anyway, have we? I mean, no, people should know anyway.
Bob and Terry. Bob and Terry. Bob is Rodney Bewes. And Terry is James Bolam. Great. Yeah. Also written by Dick Clement and Ian LaFrenaise.
Yeah. Who've wrote like the best things that have come out of this.
I've met them.
Oh, have you met them?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, I went to see they did a stage version of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads, and I went to see it. I went to see the premiere of it in Durham, and
you didn't invite me.
Honestly, I can't.
Don't call me fuck knows.
Hey, fuck knows. No. 2009, I think. Certainly, one of them was there. I might not have met both, actually, but I've met one of them, and I'm just assuming the other guy was there. But one of them was much more striking than the other one. One of them looks like Jeff Lynne, basically, and the other guy just looks like an old man.
Aye. But they've wrote some brilliant stuff, though, haven't they? I mean, Alfieda's Aim, Pet Porridge and stuff. Commitments.
What they've done is incredible. Like, stuff that you wouldn't... I mean, I know they've done Porridge. I know they've done Alfieda's Aim, Pet. Are they not involved in Dad's Army?
No, I don't think so.
I think I always assumed they had, but
yeah, probably could be wrong.
I think I'm wrong. I think I just always thought they were writers of it.
It's one of those staples, you know, all the things that we grew up with, really, you know, are written by them, really, aren't they?
But I didn't know they'd written The Commitments and some other films and stuff like that. But if you look on their website and the guy breaks down what they've done, there's just some like incredible stuff in there. It's great. It's like amazing stuff. Yeah.
They seem to be like the go-to people if in Hollywood as well. If if a film's in trouble or whatever, they get them into rewrite stuff.
I think they get a lot of rewriting jobs, and I think they also do a lot of like, this film could do with being a bit lighter.
Yeah,
and bring them in
a bit funnier and a bit more relatable. I think. Yeah. I think that's what they're good at, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you look at something like Alfieda's Aim and this, you're instantly connecting with the character straight away.
But do you think that's because we're Geordies as well?
But the thing is though, is this was like nationwide that this program was
obviously was popular. To get it back.
Massively popular, and look, Alfieda's Aim, it's made stars of a lot of them. Hasn't it?
We should do. We should definitely do at least one Alfieda's Aim per episode. And I know which one I would like it to be. But
go on, then which one? Because the first one's good. Because Jimmy Neal's got a Sutherland sticker on the back of his car, and they say to him, "What are you doing with that Sutherland sticker?" So remember that one from the first one. But which episode is
the Germany series?
Right, is it Susie Wong?
It's where Oz sings in the bar.
All right.
That is the Germany one, isn't it? Where he gets up and
sings. It is the Germany one, he's got a lovely voice.
And the lovely Gina McKee is barmaid. Where they're all... we're just going to talk about it now, but they're all like, he's got the voice of an angel. Like, he's singing exactly like Jimmy Neal sings. And they're all like, fucking hell, lads. He's got the voice of an angel. Yeah. That must only happen because he insisted it would happen. And everybody was shocked at how good a singer he was. He doesn't sound good at all.
Do you not think? I love Jimmy Neal, me, man. I remember my dad, on my dad's birthday last week, I spoke to him about this. We were talking about Jimmy Neal, as you do when it's your dad's 60th birthday.
Of course.
And he was in a band before that.
Yeah.
Before he was on Alfieda's Aim, Pet, he used to wear like a woman's high heel and a Dr. Martin boot and a dress and stuff. And my dad had seen him singing around like the social clubs in the round Shields and stuff. And then he came on Alfieda's Aim, Pet. And it wasn't until after Alfieda's Aim, Pet, my dad put the two and two together. That was the same guy. Maybe it was the episode where he was singing.
I mean, I'm not saying we'll get onto the quiz later, but you wouldn't describe it as the voice of an angel.
No.
Anyway, I love that. There's so many good episodes in Albie Just Impress. There is. Like almost all of them are so good.
Yeah. And this is the same as it's just genius, right?
I really wish I'd seen more, and I'm going to say I'll watch more when I get the time to do that. I don't know, but I would like to see more of them. I do find them all funny when I've seen them. The premise of this Christmas special is that Terry doesn't have anywhere to go for Christmas, and he's, for some reason, he's found himself a job. Or he's finding himself a job, and Bob's scoffing at him a bit. And Bob's Christmas is very planned. They've got to go to see this person on this day and this person on this day. He doesn't really want to do it. And they end up going to this fancy dress party on Christmas Eve, where Terry's job is he's a taxi driver. So they get Terry to take them. And at this party is the party you're talking about, where everyone's just getting off with each other and going in bathrooms with each other and all this kind of stuff. And maybe it did happen to the, like, those slightly more middle-class people who are trying to think, maybe this is what must happen when you're middle-class.
I think there must be something in that. I mean, even, you know, I remember, like I say, being young, me mom sort of saying to us, well, you know, they're all swingers in Holder House and stuff like that. Now, and I said that Holder House is just a housing estate near us, by the way. Anybody and lots of our friends lived in Holder House.
So it was like a new build housing estate, wasn't it? We lived in council estates that, you know, 1940s, like semi-detached houses and stuff like that. Few of our friends lived in an estate, a new build estate called Holder House. That was, you owned your house if you lived there. You had a mortgaged house, I guess, if you lived there. And like, but yeah, loads of our friends lived there. We're being told that they're all swingers.
It's mental, isn't it? I mean, I even said to the wife, you know, I said the same thing that my mom said this about Holder House, and she, my wife went, oh yeah, there was a lot of rumours about Holder House. So even she said this. I mean, do you think it's just the fact that it was a new estate, new houses that were sprung up? Everybody's just gone, there's the bloody swingers moving in.
I mean, and all the aspirational people who could, you know, could get afford one of the houses and move into it. Probably just a bit of like, well, what must be going on there? Like, because really, if you think about it, our mates, they all would have originally just, their families would have been where we lived anyway. I don't think any of our friends' families moved there specifically for the swinging element.
Specifically to swing. You never know, though, do you? It's this unknown.
Can I just ask what the neighbours are like? They're a young family, keep themselves. No, I think you've misunderstood the question. Do they specifically swing?
That is a prerequisite of having moved into Holder House. You've got to be a swinger, and if you're not, I'm sorry, you're not coming in. They should ask Bob Mortimer's estate agent fella.
That's what I was thinking of.
Do they swing? I don't know.
They go to this party where I don't know if they're kind of alluding to the fact that everyone, they're all swingers, because Bob's saying to his wife, oh, I saw you talking to him, what were you getting up to over there? She's saying to him, I saw you with her. What are you getting up to with her? And he's going, oh, I'm not like that. And she's going, well, I'm not like that. I was just talking to the guy. Turns out he is. And the woman's hiding under a pile of coats.
But she was also, Thelma was also dancing closely with the tiger. And Bob says to her, well, he had his hands all over you. And she went, well, he is a bit of an animal, isn't he?
I know. It's strange, isn't it?
Both going
it's
on.
A strange dynamic.
It is. It's a very strange dynamic.
But I think it's, probably like a clever thing that you know, we're talking about it and thinking about it in a bit more detail, but that Terry was stuck outside, not able to go in because he's not the middle class guy. He's still a working class fella. He had to be invited in for hot dog.
He had to be invited in. So, yeah, that is another clever aspect of it, isn't it? That he's the one on the outside while Bob and his wife are nice and warm and mixing pots.
But also, the kind of clever thing of it is, he's the one who doesn't do anything wrong in this episode. They're talking about him and they treat him like he's like, oh, bloody hell, Bob, you know, Terry's... Mm-hmm. We're going to have to put up with Terry at Christmas, or we're going to have to sort him out and all of this stuff. He's not doing anything wrong.
No, he's quite happy doing what he's doing, isn't he? He doesn't like Christmas, and, you know, that's why he's working. You know,
he's got nothing else to do. Really. It is a great punchline at the end of this episode.
It is. It's a fun... You mean the bit about the earrings and stuff?
Yeah, it's good.
It is absolutely brilliant. Because what happens is, Bob... and the lady under the coats, they sneak into Terry's cab after he's gone in for a hot dog. And I think that's why Bob invites him in the first place, isn't it?
So he can go into the back of the car.
It's not kindness, is it? But so they travel on home and stuff like that. Unbeknownst to them, Bob and this lady are in the back of the cab. So Bob has to drive this lady home, and Terry thinks his cab's been pinched, so he reports it stolen to the police, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So what happens after that is they all go back to the house and stuff. Bob finds his way back after being chased by dogs and stuff like that.
Also, Bob is dressed as Captain Hook.
Yes, he's dressed as Captain Hook. Yeah, we should definitely say that he's dressed as Captain Hook.
And his wife's Peter Pan.
His wife's Peter Pan. And he quickly gets changed, doesn't he, up the stairs.
Yeah, instead of the police is here because the police have come to tell Terry they found his car. Uh-huh. And Bob's like, oh, I'll just better get you. I don't want to be in this when the police come in. So he goes up and gets changed. Mm-hmm. And the exchange goes on with the policeman where... come on in, officer, why don't you have a drink? It's Christmas after all. He's like, oh, don't mind if I do. I'm going to knock off.
I'm off at six. I'll have a brown ale.
Not yet.
I'm not off yet, but I will have a brown ale. Definitely. There's a lot of drink and driving as well in this, isn't there?
Yeah, there's stuff like that. That is all very of its time.
Of the time, yeah.
Like the... being surprised that there's a woman might have a car and all of that kind of stuff.
Not many lasses have a car around here.
So they say to the policeman, he's like, oh yeah, I'll have a beer. He says, and you can come back to the station after this and pick the cab up if you want. And Terry says, well, do you not want to dust it for prints and that and find out who's done it? He's like, oh, there's no need for that. We've got a very good piece of evidence here. And he pulls out this big hooped earring. I mean, by this point, we know what's happened. We know it's we know it's Bob, and he's abandoned the car and then ran away when the police have come. Mm-hmm. And he pulls out this big hooped earring that Bob's had on his outfit. Bob comes down in his bathrobe, and he's like, oh, what's going on here, officer? Turns around, and he's still got the other earring
still got the other earring.
And they all just look at each other, and it ends.
Brilliant. It's a really good punchline. That's good. Just good writing, isn't it? Good writing. That's what I think.
There's some great jokes in it.
Like
you say, when they're talking at the pub, there's a brilliant bit at the beginning, which is basically at the beginning. It turns out that Terry's doing his
driving test.
Well, they pull up. They pull up alongside him at traffic lights, and he stalls the car because they flustered him. And then they're like, oh, he must be on his bloody driving test. We've probably ruined it for him. So then they get the next lights and they go, and they pull the window down going, oh, that was our fault. He stalled there. Don't penalize him for that.
Yeah.
And anyway, they stall and he pulls away and he's loving it, obviously, because he gets to pull away. And Bob shouts out the window,
signals.
Don't forget your hand signals. And he just puts his fingers out the side, gives him the V's out the side of the car. So funny.
It is. It's really, really clever, really, really funny. I love it. The other thing that I've did when they're in the pub as well, and Terry's talking about what he's going to do on Christmas Day, that he's just going to go in the house and he's going to watch the telly, put his feet up, have his pork lunch and meat, which I'm sure you'd be over the moon with, because you're a big fan of it. And also he says that they're looking forward to the Boxing Day match, Newcastle Carlisle, which actually did happen
that
on the Boxing Day of that year, 1974.
Okay.
Would you like to guess who won?
I think it was 4-2 to Newcastle.
It was, well, you're close. It was 2-1 to Newcastle.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, goals from Malcolm McDonald. Yeah, both he's a big man, wasn't he? No. Yeah. Who else scored? John Tudor scored the other one. I don't know who scored for Carlisle. Okay. But Carlisle were at home as well.
My dad will know this. My dad have been watching it at this point. I thought, like, so at that point, Jane went, oh, posh Geordies. Because he goes, well, I'll be at the watching the Boxing Day match, won't I? Newcastle against Carlisle. Jane just goes, posh Geordies. Okay.
Well, James Bourne's from Sunderland, I think, isn't he? He's a Sunderland fan. He was born in Sunderland, so
yeah. I don't think Rodney Hughes is a Geordie, is he?
I think he's from Durham or something.
Yeah, well,
somewhere like that. Her. So yeah, I think he is. The other thing, Cliff, do you know about the rift between James Bourne and Rodney Hughes? You know about that? They didn't speak for 40 years.
Oh, really? After this? Well, not before it, because that would have been from birth to this episode.
So what apparently happened was James Bourne apparently is a really sort of introverted character. He's a very private character. And he doesn't like his private life sort of being talked about or anything like that. But Rodney Hughes is the complete opposite. He embellishes his stories.
He's a bit of a thespian, isn't he? Like, he's a bit...
Yeah. So I think Rodney Hughes like did a lot of like interviews and stuff like that, and you know, he went on the chat show circuits, and he was telling a story about James Bourne's wife who was pregnant, and James Bourne didn't like it. He rang up to apologise and stuff. So, oh, I didn't know that you didn't want to talk about it.
Well, like a bad story, or just said...
No, just like something where they were driving the car. I think Rodney Hughes, his wife had triplets. And James Bourne's wife, while he was driving the car, said to him, oh, well, you know how they've had three babies, we're going to have one. Something like that.
Okay.
And James Bourne, like, swerved off the road in shock. So he told this like anecdote on a chat show, but you know, James Bourne being the guy that he is, didn't like the fact that his personal life was being discussed. Okay. Or didn't speak to him for 40 years after that.
I've got to admire that stubbornness.
Yeah, but I mean, in the like intervening years after that, sort of Rodney Hughes kind of like, you know, started embellishing more stories about him and things, saying kind of things like he didn't want the repeats to be on, which wasn't true from what I've read.
Okay.
It's a strange relationship. Just start winding him up, man. But James Bourne was just a quiet man, I think, and unassuming man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that much about. I remember, I think me nana or maybe just me mom. Or said they weren't that keen on him. I never really knew why.
Yeah, I think he's great, mate. Have you ever seen Grandpa in My Pocket? It's fantastic.
I have. I've seen When the Boat Comes In.
When the Boat Comes In.
What was it? Is it New Tricks, that show with the lady with the burnt arms?
Lady with the burnt arms. Miss Oven Gloves.
She did miss the oven gloves, hence the burned off.
She's obviously been making cheese and toast like me, hasn't she? I don't know. Who's the lady with the burnt off?
The woman in that show. That's all I know. That I'm sure. Yeah.
No, I don't know her. Who
was it? Waterman? I'm going to Google it now because it's this is a good lineup, isn't it?
good lineup for new tricks. I don't think I've ever seen it, actually. I mean, it's been on, you know, but, you know, while I've been watching the TV.
I don't think I would have watched it, but now I'm thinking I would really like it. Now I think about it now, I probably would want to watch it now.
Is it on the list?
Amanda Redman, the aforementioned lady. I hope I haven't got that wrong. And also, I'm not mocking her if she has got burned arms. It was just the only thing I could think of. Alan Armstrong, Sunderland.
But the former Newcastle striker.
Spelled as him.
Is it?
Yeah.
And then he went to Hartlepool, didn't he? Hartlepools.
Was he not at... did he go to Blackburn for a bit, I think?
Yeah, he went to Blackburn, yeah. I'm sure he played for Hartlepools as well.
Anyway, the actor, Alan Armstrong, who's... It says Durham. Anfield Plain he's from. I love him. He's great. Bolham. Dennis Waterman.
Yeah.
And Dennis Lawson.
Right.
Him of... is it Wedge Antilles? Is that him?
That sounds like Star Wars.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think he's Wedge Antilles in Star Wars.
Wedge. Oh, yeah. And the X-Wing thing.
It's Ewan McGregor's uncle, isn't it? I think that's what he's most famous for.
What was the premise of the show? Were the con men or something? Is that what it was? Or were the prostitutes?
Yeah. They were old men gigolos who were like
tricks.
Were stumped by the demands of the modern woman. Cunnula what?
You do what?
Wait, no, man.
I'm not doing that, kidder.
And they were the Unsolved Crime and Open Case Squad, who basically they hired some old detectives to try and help them solve the cases.
And the magicians.
Nicholas Lyndhurst is in it as well. Not bothered about him. Larry Lamb.
I'm not bothered about him.
And Tamsin Outhwaite, who was Mel in EastEnders. Yeah. Remember her?
Yeah, I remember her. Of course I do. I'm a red-blooded male.
Of course I fucking do.
Suit you. Do you have a dog, sir? Oh! Right, so we like the light of that stuff.
Yeah, it was good. I really want to watch more. And yeah, it was you good should. For the, you know, there's reminders of us, friends, normal crack, going to the pub, Sad Bastards Corner on Christmas Eve, like all of that stuff. It's good. So I really, really liked it. They also did, or one of them did Spender.
Oh, yes. Rodney Bewes was in Spender.
I've never seen a single second of Spender.
I remember it as a kid. I remember my dad watching it.
I remember my dad and mum and dad watching it, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
No? Well, we're going to have to do it for this, I think. Because I think on YouTube, my dad was saying
there's a great clip of it where he's like chasing someone.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Through the metro or something.
Yeah. He like comes out of a house in Newcastle, gets on the metro, like it's like chasing. Yeah, anyway. So in honor of Jimmy the Nail, I've got
Jimmy the Nail.
Jimmy Nail music quiz for you.
Okay.
What do you think about that? All I'm going to do
terribly.
I think you will. All I'm going to do is tell you the name of the Jimmy Nail song and the year it was released. And I want you to tell me who the songwriters were. No, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to
Paddy
tell me
McAloon.
What number? Yeah, what number? I haven't even put that one in. What number you think it got to in the chart?
Ooh, right. Okay.
There's no wrong answers.
Well, there is, isn't there? When you say, that's just ridiculous. Of course there's wrong answers.
Just say what you think. There's no wrong answers, Brett.
They said that to me in the GCSEs, and look how badly I did. There's no wrong answers, Brett. Well, there obviously is.
Right. song. These are in chronological order. So I'm going to start with Jimmy Nail's debut single, Love Don't Live Here Anymore, from 1985.
Doom, 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 doom. You abandoned me.
The top of the Pops performance. He's got like a long mac on, hasn't he? Or just smoke, really miserable. Love don't live here anymore.
I'm going to go one.
It wasn't one. Oh. Were you close? It was number three.
Ooh,
not bad for a debut single, is it? Especially it's not very good. So it's excellent.
It is good.
It's not as good as the next song on this list, which is, I think it's just called Lies.
Lies.
No, so Ain't No Doubt.
Ain't No Doubt.
From
Plain to See.
1992.
Uh-huh. I'll go two.
A beaten. That's a number one smash.
Oh man, getting them mixed up, you see. And you, I know of one definitely of these number ones, which I hope you're gonna ask soon.
There are no more number ones on this list.
Crocodile Shoes definitely got a number one.
No, apparently not.
Did it not? Is that on your list?
So next up is Crocodile Shoes from 1995.
I remember watching Top of the Pops, so I'm sure it was at number one.
It's his worst performance single yet.
Is it?
I'm getting the information from the Hot 100. Where do you think I'm getting it from?
Who's the Hot 100? Is this like a gang of youths that hang around your house? The Hot 100?
Yeah. They all live in a sauna nearby.
It's that Chili Pepper gang. So it didn't get a number one, even though I have recollections of Crocodile Shoes definitely getting a number one.
I'm crying too.
I love Crocodile Shoes.
What do you think about the TV series Crocodile Shoes?
Again, I think I vaguely remember watching the first one. And I remember the guy painting his hair on.
I remember watching there's two series. The second one is a total ego trip. I mean, it's crazy, the second one. It's it's like he's doing everything. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But yeah, first one, Crocodile Shoes, the song, I'm crying too. Right. Not co-written with Paddy McAloon, this one.
I'll go with number four then.
Correct.
Ooh. Even though I'm sure I went number one.
Didn't go number one. According to I've just rang up ITV's chart show and asked them, and they said it was number four.
That's the Hot 100. That's them.
Right. Next up, song number four. Big River, about the Geordie spirit. Also from 1995.
Yeah. I'm going to go number 12 for Big River.
Oh, it's close. Didn't do quite as well as that. It got a number 18.
18? Well, I was close there. We're dropping down the charts.
He is very much dropping down the charts after Crocodile Shoes.
Still a good song, Big River, though, isn't it?
Do you think it's surprising that he sings in a high-pitched voice so much?
Yeah, he's got range, hasn't he?
I'm not sure he's got range. I think he just sings in a too high voice too much.
No. I've heard him sing in a gruff voice.
Well, hang on. Ain't No Doubt. There's no high bits in Ain't No Doubt.
What about the bit where he's talking?
What he's talking?
Oh, that's Lies, isn't it? Yeah, he talks in Lies, doesn't he?
He says, yeah, but that's
it's just a talking bit. So, is it?
So, what is it? I'm going to look for the lyrics because I love that bit.
The talking bit.
Too drunk to think about what
is it? Right. What is it? Because it is quite like good, that bit where he's talking. I like that bit. Like,
let's go through the lyrics.
Uh huh. And you say no.
She says, she says, it's not you, it's me. I need a little time, a little space, a place to find myself again. You know? Oh, yes. I know a goodbye when I hear it. That's a bit I like.
I know the next bit. Can I get... And then I hear a door slam.
Oh, and that's later. No. This is
the end. So no!
Basically, there's a talking bit at the beginning and at the end. At the middle is the second bit. So, I know a goodbye when I hear it. She smiles, but her heart's already out there, walking down the street. She says...
walking down the street.
She says, I don't want nobody else.
Yeah. And that's a lady singing that anyway.
I love you. Lies.
Lying. Don't want nobody else. And that's true.
Lies. Also,
what does she pretend?
Ain't no doubt it's plain to see.
Brilliant. Fantastic song. Didn't Madonna cover one?
Beating and a beating and a beating and a beating. She says, it's like in a song, remember? If you love someone, set them free. It's only he's made Sting that he's referencing. Well, that's how it is for me. And then she kisses me. And then somewhere, I hear a door slam. So I say, fine.
Fine.
So I say,
this
fine.
This sound like a very Geordie argument, does it?
Remember the last
to
line?
Be honest.
No, so I say, fine. And I just hope that I'm a better liar than she is.
Wonderful. Wonderful stuff.
Oh, man. What a song.
Stuff.
Do you remember when you and Tino got the plug pulled on you when you were singing that in the pub I used to work at?
Because I was hitting him on the head with the microphone.
You hit him on the head with the mic, and he was just screaming, lies!
That was at the lake, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Fucking hell. Anyway, that got number one. What I'm saying is, when he didn't sing in a high voice, he got a number one.
Right, do you think it's a high voice that does it?
So the last number on my list is 2001, his final single. And it's a cover of, this is the least needed song of all time. Uh-huh. Jimmy Neil in 2001 covering the Police's Walking on the Moon.
Well, I didn't know that he covered that one. No. I knew that he did John Lennon, did Love, I think, didn't he? Which
yeah,
is
it's awful.
One of his albums. I would say it's on. Is it on the Neil file?
Probably not. Because that's
the greatest hits, isn't it? Is it on Crocodile Shoes?
No, man, he had an album called like 10 Great Songs, One Okay Voice.
All right, did he?
On Cover's album.
I like it.
And the worst one on that is The Last Time, The Stones. So bad. So
does
bad.
Does he sing it in the high voice?
This could be the last time.
I'm going to go for number 64 for this one.
No, didn't. I don't think it didn't. Nowhere. Not even in the top 100.
No way.
I don't think even anybody bought a single copy of it.
Well, that is disgusting. I mean, that's just awful.
I mean, he's picked a song.
The British buying public.
He's picked a song that's entirely high. You should have known by that point. Maybe I just need to be more high. Giant steps are what they take.
You should have picked the song where you had to talk through it.
He needs some talking. Him talking and a woman singing. That's what he needs.
Yeah. It's the perfect ingredients for a number one.
You got one out of five, so give yourself a big round of applause, Brad Davidson.
There's the applause for you.
So maybe you could do a lot worse than teaming up with our next musical act.
He could, couldn't he? For sure. Because this lady definitely has an angelic voice, doesn't she?
Beautiful. Really, really nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Before I mention it, I just wanted to say, like, this year, I think more than ever, I haven't really listened to much new music at all. Like, I'm normally well on top of it, get music mags, and all of that kind of stuff, keep my eye out for it. I haven't done that this year. It's not been that possible. So putting the songs on the end of the podcast has been good to get us. I'd rather give money and me time to, like, real, not necessarily grassroots, but, you know, bands that are doing their own thing and trying to make a living out of it. So I've been glad that we've been able to listen to bands like the Mariners and stuff like that.
Well, the thing that's well, not shocked is because, you know, but the thing that I've found is that I actually prefer, you know, this independent music. I think most of the ones that we've had, well, all the ones that we've had have been excellent, really, really good.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Massively chuffed to have discovered, like you say, like the Mariners, stuff like that, who are really good. And by rights, they should be in the charts. Shouldn't be bloody Ariana Grande or whatever. Not for my money.
I've got no problem with...
Should be these guys?
I've got no problem with people that are in the charts. Like, it's just different, isn't it? You can get, you know...
But the thing is, right, it all sounds the same. It's all the same stuff. Where we've had a variety of different stuff on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, and it's all been, for my money anyway, really, really good. I've loved a lot of it.
Have you dyed your hair?
No, what, this week?
Have you got Just For Men? Have you delved into the Just For Men?
The Just For Men's always on my head, mate.
Is it?
Always. Uh-huh. If I didn't have the Just For Men, I'd be grey.
I know, but sometimes it looks your normal colour. I didn't realise you did the Just For Men.
I've told you loads of times to do the Just For Men.
Who are you trying to impress, like?
Well, you know, anybody who comes to carol singers. I'm the Hot 100, if they ever pop round. I'm always looking to impress them.
Oh, it's a lovely chestnut brown.
Thanks. Well, I haven't dyed a chestnut brown. It's, you know, black. I think it could be the red lightning here. You know?
You're blended into the curtains, those plush velvet curtains behind you.
That's a wardrobe?
This thing. On the side. The other side.
This.
The thing that looks like a curtain. Yeah, yes. What's that? A robe.
That's a curtain. That's Hugh Hefner.
That's what I'm. Yeah, just, he's looking thin.
Standing behind us. He is, isn't he? Dead. Probably is. He is dead.
Yeah.
He is dead. But what a good life he had.
I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, I suppose.
Yeah. If you're into, like, you know, shagging women around pools.
A rock pool. I don't think I'd want to go in that water, to be honest.
No, it's definitely not. That's an STD waiting for you in that water. Anyway,
sorry.
This lovely,
well, no,
lovely
let's put a little bit of distance between the STD pool and who sounds like a lovely mini birch.
Yes, let's. That's not appropriate at all.
So, yeah, I think we're both happy that we've listened to some new music and found some new acts and stuff and been able to give them a few extra plays. Hopefully, more people have listened and bought some of their stuff. I'm definitely going to go back and go through who we've had on and buy some more of their stuff. I've already got stuff from, I think, Simulacral Lab and Ectoplague. I got all of his back catalogue. So yeah, I'll do the same with some of the other stuff as well, because I've really enjoyed it all, and it's just nice to do it and also be interacting with, like, the same as, like I said earlier, interacting with some different people and expanding what we do and what we listen to and all that kind of stuff. This song, I will say, I think is excellent. So we're still focusing on our little Christmas theme.
We are.
So this is Minnie Birch from Hertfordshire. Mm-hmm. A folk singer and guitarist, songwriter. This is from a 2014 album called The Christmas Present on a label called Folkstock Records. And yeah, it's called Snowman. It's great, isn't it? It's just lovely, a really nice.
It's a lovely, English lovely song.
Yeah, voice is great. The song's just very nice. Lyrics are top notch as well. So we'll get that playing in a second. So we've got one more episode after this year. Don't know what we're going to do with that yet, but we'll have a think about that. And thank you everyone for listening. Hope you all have a Merry Christmas. This will go out on Christmas Day. But whenever you listen, hope you're all right. Follow us on Instagram. Don't need to follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at FCircusPod. We're on Facebook. It's just the name of the podcast. You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. And to play us out, Brett, tell us again who we're listening to.
We have the lovely Minnie Birch with the song Snowman.
Well, Merry Christmas, Brett. It is great. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
See you later. Enjoy the tune.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.
Your mother says she can feel it in her bones. I feel it in my bones. And as it gets colder, I just want you closer. Come home. But just like a snowman, I wake up and you're eyes on the ground. And just like this season, you won't last for too long. I wake up and you, oh, you go, 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 just like the snow. Says she can feel it in her bones. I feel it in my bones. And one by one they fall in line, and one by one I've watched them as they go. And just like snowmen wake up, they're gone. On the ground. And just like the season, you won't last for too long. I wake up and you, oh, you go, 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 just like the snow. As it settles on the ground. Oh, do we not count until you promise that you'll settle down? To keep your eyes on the ground and my dad's gloves on your hands, don't. Close on your hands, don't be a cold man.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.